You are welcome to our teachings again, particularly to this series of teachings on planting, growth, and development of house churches. The planting, the growth, and the development of house churches. We are going to start straight away with a Bible verse from the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 5, verse 42. Kindly open your Bible together with us so that we look at it together. Acts of Apostles, chapter 5, verse 42. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 42, it said, day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. I read it again. Day after day, and in the temple courts, and from house to house, they never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Again, the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 2, we'll read verse 46 and 47. Kindly open your Bible together with us. Acts of Apostles, chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. The Bible again says, every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the fellowship of all the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In those two places, we saw that they met daily in the temple courts and from house to house. Temple courts and from house to house. Again, we see Paul telling us, or as he was speaking with the Ephesian elders in Acts of Apostles chapter 20, Acts of Apostles chapter 20, if you open again with us, Acts of Apostles chapter 20, verse 20, I will read. He said, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have not hesitated to tell you anything that will be helpful to you, but I have taught you publicly and from house to house. In Acts of Apostles chapter 5:42, he said they met daily in the temple courts and from house to house. Acts of Apostles chapter 2 verse 46, 47, again, temple court, house to house, and Paul here telling us that he actually taught them publicly and from house to house. From these three verses, we see that there were two main places that the early church met. They met publicly in the temple court, and they equally met in their homes. In the temple courts, they met in order to reach out to this multitude of people who had gathered to worship a God, because their hearts were tender. Their hearts were prepared. They were longing for an encounter with God. And the early disciple, they took the opportunity to go where these people were found. Their hearts were tender. Their hearts were ready. They were looking, longing for God. And they had gone to worship, just like in Acts of Apostles chapter 8, we know about the Ethiopian eunuch. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And then as he was coming back, then the Spirit told Philip, go and join that chariot. When Philip came, he found him reading a portion of scripture, and Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He said, "How can I except someone explain to me?" So he had gone to worship. He was reading the scripture. Oh, his heart was longing for something. And that's the type of people that the apostle, the disciple, went to the temple court to meet. So in the temple court, they went in order to win the multitude of these religious people, thousands of them who had come to worship, whose hearts were prepared. They went to the temple court to win them to the Lord, and from house to house, and took them. They are the people that they would take to their homes in order to build them up. So temple courts to win the lost, big halls to win the lost, big hall to reach out to the multitude, the diverse number of people who may come, whether they are weak, however wicked they may be, they will come in order to be won to the Lord. But from house to house, these people who have been won are disciples. So they had public meetings that targeted winning people to the Lord, and they had smaller meetings from house to house that targeted building and discipling these people they have won to the Lord. Temple court and from house to house. What is a house church? A house church is a group of believers that normally meet in a home for the purpose of worship, for the purpose of prayer, for the purpose of discipleship, for the purpose of breaking bread, for the purpose of teachings. A group of believers, as we saw in one of our teachings, series of teaching where there is no church, we saw that the church is actually not a building. These are believers who meet in a home to worship the Lord, to be discipled, to encourage one another, to be taught the word of God. They know themselves as the body of Christ, and they know themselves as the family of God, meeting together in that particular place, in that home, to reach out to the Lord, to reach out to one another, and to strategize reaching out to the lost. A group of believers who meet in a home somewhere, a private home somewhere, not such a massive number of believers, as we shall see the goal of the house church, building people in this smaller number to rebuild them to know God more and more, that which you cannot do when you have thousands of people before you. So they meet together to minister to the Lord. They meet together to minister to one another. They meet together to strategize the conquest of the locality where they are and to impose the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ wherever they are. The house church is the strength of the local church. And the local church is the body of believers that meet in a locality. There's the universal church. All the believers, visible, invisible, upon planet Earth, those who have come to surrender their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, they form what is called the universal church. Then in a locality, the body of believers in a locality form what is called the local church. And in a particular locality, you can have thousands of believers, but it is not possible for one person to know these thousands of people. If they give you 1,000 people to know them and build them, it will be very, very difficult for you. That is the concept of the house church, as clearly stated in the Word of God. House churches in the Word of God, in order to build these believers in a home, as we also saw under where there is no church. The church is the family of God, the household of God. Inside, within the concept of the home, these believers are raised up as a family, welded together with one another, welded to the Lord, welded to the vision, and living for a purpose in that locality. So the house church is the strength of the local church. If the local church does not have house churches, You will have a group of people, so many of them will come together, thousand and thousand, and after a time, they will not even know one another, and there will be many among them that become neglected, and some may even be going through crisis, and nobody knows them. The house church, within in the concept of the house churches, then these believers in the local church are now broken down into smaller families, smaller units, where every one of them is known, every one of them given time, every one of them being discipled, being built in the fear of the Lord, in the knowledge of the Lord, and being built in order to discover why are they here on earth, discovering the purpose for which they were created, discovering their spiritual ability, discovering their spiritual gift. And that's exactly what the house church is all about, in order that people are in this home. They are known. They are being cared for. They are being given personal attention at a one-to-one level, so that there is nobody who is going through a problem and he is not known to be going through that problem, and somebody standing with him. Just like a father in a home knows all his children and is able to give them personal time, in the same way, the leaders of the house churches, they know the people in their various house churches, and they are able to give them personal attention at their level. There are those who will be strong, they will be given attention. The weak, they will be given attention, and they will be built up to know the Lord and discover the purpose for which they were created, and discover their spiritual gift and begin to serve the Lord. So the house churches is actually the strength of the local church. It is within the house churches that each believer come to find their true identity and then their true value, their usefulness in the body of Christ. Everybody come to discover their true identity, their usefulness, their place in the body of Christ. And everybody is not only helped to know their identity, to know their place, to know what they ought to be doing. Each person is helped to discover what ability has God put in me in order to accomplish that which I ought to be doing within the body of Christ. So it is within the house churches that we train people. So the early church, they met in the temple court to win multitude, publicly to win multitude, and they met within the house church in order to build these people that have been won. So you will have thousands of believers in a locality, but these thousands of believers may be divided into 100 house churches, and within that 100 house churches, we have this family unit where everybody is known and everybody is being built up in order to discover who he is, and everybody open in order to be helped to become truly discipled in the knowledge of the Lord and in the service of the Lord and in his or her relationship with the Lord. Planting, growing, and developing the house churches. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19, Paul writing to the Corinthians, he said, "The churches in the province of Asia sent you greetings." So the whole province had churches. In other words, in each place there was a church. There was a church. There was a church. This was the whole province. You go to this town, a church. This town, that's what is called the churches in the province of Asia. They say, "And Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord." So does the church that meet in their house. So there were the churches in the province of Asia. And as we said, each of the locality will have a local church. But in one of those localities, you are also talking about a church in the home of this couple. And that's where they say the church that meet in their house. The church that meet in your house is called the house church. A body of believers gathering in a home to worship God, to reach out to God, reach out to one another, and reach out to the lost, and impose the lordship and the kingdom of God wherever they are found. Is called the house church. The most effective way in building people is to build them in a home. It is within the home setting that people can be built up. So when you want to know a person, the first thing you ask yourself, from which home did this person come from? Who are his parents? You cannot build people up in the crowd. That is why the Church of Christ is suffering today, because you have thousands of people gathered together, but actually you are actually dealing with thousands of babies, because they do not have family they identify with. They have a hall, they have a building, and they may actually be going through crises that they don't know. I read about a couple somewhere. They went to church, attended the church service, and before they went to church, they had agreed with one another that when they come back, they will prepare a meal, and inside that meal, they will put poison inside and drink and die. So they were in a church, and nobody had gone close to them enough to be able to know that they were going through a crisis. So they actually went to church in the morning, sang in the church, listened to the message, and when they came back, they prepared their meal as they had planned, put the poison inside, and the two of them ate and died. Such thing does not take place when you have believers in this family unit called the house churches. By the time somebody begins to think of doing such wicked thing, someone already has realized that this person is not the same as he used to be. This person is depressed. Something is going wrong. When you have people in this smaller unit, no matter what a person is going through, somebody will be discovered and he will be helped. So the easiest way to build people, to know people, is within this, the concept within this house churches. You build people from their homes, not in a hall. And you build people by giving them this sense of belonging. We're going to look at an Old Testament example. Whether you are talking about the New Testament, whether you are talking about the Old Testament, the easiest place to build the people is in the home. That's why if you want to build your children, build them in the home. You cannot push your children to a hall outside. They will get knowledge, but they will not develop character. It is within the home setting, the house church setting, that we build people to develop character. We look at the example of Abraham, how Abraham built people in his own home. Genesis chapter 14. Let us open together to Genesis chapter 14. In the book of Genesis chapter 14, verse 14 and 16. The background of the story here is that Abraham's nephew Lot had been captured. From verse 14 we read, when Abraham heard that his late relative had been taken captive, he called out 318 men, 318 trained men born in his household, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. During the night, Abraham divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the gold and brought back his relative Lot and his possession, together with the men and the other people. Abraham had trained 318 men born in his own household. And here we are dealing with, there was a battle where four kings with their soldiers had come and attacked the other five other kings. And what four kings, or what these five kings could not do, what these five kings, the four kings came and defeated them. Why were they defeated? They were defeated because They were not powerful enough. They were not strong enough. They were not well trained enough. Abraham, who knew that it is not just having a crowd, it is having people who are trained. If you have people who are trained, it is not just having thousands of people in a church. You can have one soldier who is well trained and who is well armed, and he can enter a place and kill and destroy 100,000 untrained people. So Abraham had trained 318 men born in his own household. That's what we do in the house churches. The house churches are places of training, building the people to spiritual maturity. Why did Abraham train his people? Why did he train these people born in his household? You will see again in Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 to 19. Genesis chapter 18, we will read. Kindly open there. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 to 19. Listen to what the Lord said concerning Abraham. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?" You say, Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised. God told himself, there are certain things I cannot hide from Abraham, because I know what Abraham will become. I know the great plans I have for Abraham, that Abraham will become a great and powerful nation. And that as a result of this, all nations on earth will be blessed through Abraham. And that's what the missionary vision is. God knows what he has ordained each of us to become: great, powerful. And that because of what we shall become, multitude will be blessed through us. But he also tells us the means how that will come to pass, in order that the purposes of God for each of the brethren under our leadership, for each of the brethren in our churches, may come to pass. There are certain things that need to be done. The Bible says, I have chosen him to direct his children to obey, to follow the ways of the Lord by doing what is right, what is just. So Abraham was to train his children, and we are supposed to train our people to obey the Lord, to follow the ways of the Lord, and do what is just and right. And if we do that, if we give time to train these people that we have, to train those that God has given to us, and we train them through what is called discipleship, and the house church setting is the best way in the training of people, in the discipling of people. By bringing them to this number, you can raise up 318 men who can fight and defeat four nations. What five nations could not do, Abraham with 318 trained men could do. So if we will accomplish the purposes of God, we must go back to the house churches and train the people. And he says, I have chosen him so that because he will become great, he will become powerful. Yes, and that's what God wants each of us. And that's what God wants us as ministry, as churches, to become: great, powerful. And then as a result of that, the overflow of the blessing of God upon our life is that nation will be blessed because of us. And then for this to happen, we need to build the people. We need to train these people to fear God, to obey God, to do what is just and right. We mold them up in their character. We mold them up to know God. We mold them up to obey God. And we mold them up to resemble the Lord. If we do that, then the purposes of God for our life, for our ministry, for whatever, when God calls us, he has called us to train people. When God gives us people, he has given them to us, not just to have them like a mass of sheep bound down to us. No, he has given them so that we build them up to spiritual maturity. That's why Jesus Christ called us not to just to have comfort. He called us to go and make disciples of all nations. In the house churches, we make disciples. And these disciples, we impart to them a vision. And that vision is the overall vision on God's heart for world conquest, ensuring that all nations on earth are blessed just because from one home, someone taught his spiritual children, someone taught his biological children to fear the Lord and to obey the Lord. That is the purpose, one of the greatest purposes of the house church. In the house church, we spend time, we give these people time, we study them, we know them, and we train them to know God more and more, to fear God more and more. And from our homes, out of the overflow of this time, we have given them to given to train them. From our house churches, we will soon see nations. Missionary will go to other nations. From our house churches, nation will be blessed. Not only that, we will see these people become great and powerful, not just people that have come. The Bible did not just tell us to come and multiply. It says, he called them to, he said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue. We multiply to have numbers. We train people in order that they may subdue. If we shall grow and not be subdued, we must train the people we are leading to the Lord. And we train them through the house churches. So for the vision to be accomplished, we need to train the people. And we have seen how Abraham trained his own people. So give time. We get them in the house churches. One of the house churches that the first house churches the early church had was in the home of the mother of John Mark. Mary, the mother of John Mark. So we have seen how Abraham trained his own children, and that's how we should train our own children, so that with 300 people, we can still accomplish what nations cannot accomplish. The early house church was in the home of John Mark's mother. The book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 12. Let us open to the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 12. We will see how this first house church was equally able to train people. Acts of Apostles, chapter 12. In the story here, Peter had been arrested. Peter was put in prison, waiting to be executed, to be killed the next day. And something happened, and he was released from prison. Acts of Apostles, chapter 12, verse 12. He said, when this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. In this home, at such a critical period of the church, when Peter left prison, Peter just asked himself, where can I go now? And he knew where to go. He knew that there is a place, even though there's a great persecution going on, there is a place. It is a place of prayer. It is a place of shelter. It is a base for the church. No matter what the church is going through, if I go there now, I am going to find help. So this was a critical prayer center, because the house church is a critical prayer center for the church. It is a place where the people of God, as an overflow of their relationship with God, an overflow of their relationship with one another, and their understanding of the vision why God has called them, they give themselves to prayer. They pray for the body of Christ. They are praying for leaders. They are praying for the vision. And when there is a crisis in the land, it is within this house church that they are praying, that they are praying, that they are praying, that they are praying. They pray and pray and pray. So this was a critical prayer center for the church at such a difficult time in her history. It was a difficult period, a very, very difficult period, and there was this house church still existing. It equally provided shelter for the early believers when they could no longer meet openly. When the early believer could no longer meet openly, it is in this home that you see that they were meeting. Such a home was able to give the church critical workers. People like John Mark came from this home. Young missionaries emerged from this home. It was the home of John Mark's mother, and in one of Paul and Barnabas' missionary journey, John Mark accompanied them. And later we actually could hear Paul talking about John Mark, that he is useful to me for the ministry. So this house church produce useful co-workers. And this house church, we equally know this house church, what happened? This house church was able, John Mark was able to relate with Paul, critical leaders, and relate at the same time with Peter. We hear Peter talking about Mark, that my son. So he had a good relationship with Peter, had a good relationship with Paul. So the house church helped the young man to build critical relationship with leaders. And it was this same house church that was able to help John Mark, because Peter did not know how to write. The Bible called him an illiterate. But Peter was teaching in this house church. He was teaching in this house church. And then John Mark, a young man that he was, attending the meeting in this house church, was listening. He was listening. And later on, we have the book of Mark. I wanted to imagine a Bible without the book of Mark. How did Mark get it? It was nothing but the verbal message he was hearing. Each time he went to the house church, he was hearing, he was listening, he was listening, he was listening. And at the end, what do we have? We have somebody who was able to put down the message of Peter into a book called the Book of Mark. So the house church is a critical place for training. The house church is a critical place for prayer. The house church is a critical place for bringing up the young one to understand the vision. So the house church is critical for the existence of the church of God and for the accomplishment of the vision God has given to us. Through the house churches, we train workers, we raise missionaries, we teach the church. Actually, in that home of John Mark's mother, Barnabas was John Mark's mother was the auntie of Barnabas. So you can see what the home provided, such critical people at such a time in church history. So in the house church, we build the believers. We preserve the message. Within the house church, we deepen relationship. Within the house church, we help the believer to discover their calling, discover their identity, discover what they must put into the vision that God has for his body, and we help them to discover what God created them to be and discover the ability that they equally have. This is our introduction for the planting, the growth, and development of the house churches. If you go to the book of Acts, when the early church forgot about the vision, because the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. When the early church started, their number became so large in Jerusalem that they forgot about Judea, they forgot about Samaria, and they forgot about the uttermost part of the earth. What happened? A great persecution broke out in Acts of Apostles chapter 8, which in Acts of Apostles chapter 8, we read that a great persecution broke out. I would like you to look at it. A great persecution broke out in Acts of Apostles chapter 8 for a purpose. And Saul was there approving of they are killing. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. If you look at where we are now, many of those big churches, there used to be 1,000, 100, etc. They can no longer meet. A great persecution broke out, exactly like what we are going through. Ours may not be a persecution. And then the Bible says, all were scattered except the apostle. You could come to, because church history says, at this time, the church in Jerusalem was like 30,000 people. So 30,000 people scattered, and all were scattered except the apostle. But good news, the Bible says in verse 4, those who have been scattered preached the gospel wherever they went. Then Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah, proclaimed Christ there. What has happened? What they ought to have done by just obeying the law, they did not do it, and persecution had to force them to do it. Finally, Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth receiving the gospel now because of persecution. It is not persecution that should push us. It is not problem that should push us to obey the Lord. If you look at what is happening now, the COVID-19 has scattered churches. More the halls, there are no more meeting in halls, and we have been driven back to the house churches. The house churches that ought to be what we should have been giving ourselves to do, and we were not doing, we have now been driven because of problem to go and start obeying what God called us to do. We have been called to build the disciple within the house churches. Let us be wise and know what God is telling us. We should not wait for problem before we begin to obey the Lord. Within this period, God has taken us back to the vision that He gave to us. He gave the body of Christ. We will meet in the temple court. Unfortunately, many of us, many churches have made the synagogue meeting to become what their vision is. We have the temple, the synagogue meeting, that big crowd meeting. In order to win the lost, we take them to the house churches to build them up. Let it be that God has woken us. We have been awakened from our slumber to begin to obey God, to give ourselves to the vision of the house churches. Let us go back. Let us disciple the people within the house churches. In this series of teaching that we shall be giving on the planting, the growth, and the development of the house churches, we are actually trying to study what are these house churches we are talking about. How are we supposed to plant them? How are we supposed to ensure that they grow? How can we ensure that they develop and spread out until from one single house church, you can ensure that a town is conquered? Join us and let us study together on this journey. Let's travel the journey together. Let us study together and discover planting, growing, and developing house churches. May God bless you.